This week we had a fun game night, board game night on Thursday night. Thanks for those of you who came to play and those of you who came to have deep theological discussions as well. We had a great time, and we're going to plan for something again next month, so keep a lookout for it. And it's fun just to build community time and just to laugh together, isn't it? I like to laugh. I really do. It's one of my hobbies, to laugh.
Yeah.
We're going to dig into the text here in Luke, and we're going to be looking these next few weeks on experiencing God. And next week we're going to have an Old Testament story to look into, so I'm looking forward to that as well. I want to talk a little bit about the power of touch. Last week we were looking at a scripture where Jesus healed a leper, and Jesus reached out and touched someone who was not touched, and how the leper was healed, and the power of Christ's touch, and the power of touch in our lives. And interestingly enough, the text for today, there's also a lot about the power of touch. And if I can, I want to say a kind of a pastoral care word about our community and about touch. I have this theory that in a big city like where we live in Prague, in our context, many of us are separated from old friends, old loved ones, and there are many people in the city who are rarely touched, and maybe that includes you and me. I think the pandemic has heightened that, right? As the pandemic started, we're all afraid of germs. You know, everybody was on the news telling us to be extra careful, and we stopped hugging people and shaking hands with people and getting near to people with touch. So I think all of those factors, I think we're currently living in a day and age where sometimes I think people are starved from touch. And maybe they know it, maybe they don't. I've talked to a number of university students, single folks who say, nobody ever touches me anymore. And so I think that it's touch is something that is a scarcity right now. And so as our community, I just want to say, let's not be afraid to get near to one another, to reach out and shake a hand or give a hug or a side hug or whatever it is you're comfortable with, right? And let's honor one another, right? Everybody has different comfort levels with touch. Some people would prefer just a handshake and not a hug or whatever. So let's honor each other's boundaries. But I would love for us to continue to be a community that's known for kind of radical hospitality and safe touch, right? Welcoming, safe, I see you. I care about you. I will reach out to you. Touch. Sometimes it's worthwhile not to overlook the little things, such as reaching out to one another. And I'm happy to honor you with a hug. I like to hug. I'm happy to honor you with just a handshake or whatever you would like. But I think let's be a contrasting community, right, to our world today. That's still like, oh, do I wear a mask? Oh, do I touch anyone? And just be like, hey, we're in community. I'm happy to see you. Welcome. And as we look into this touch passage today, I'd like us to be encouraged by this text. So if you have your Bible or your phone app with your Bible, feel free to turn to Luke chapter 8. Now, the passage that was read by Tim today is kind of set right smack in the middle of another context of healing. So You may want to go back and read the whole context. It's fascinating that Jesus has a healing within a healing. And so if you pick up in the few verses ahead of where we read today, Jesus comes back across the lake, sets foot on the shore, and people are waiting for him. His fame has spread. He's a healer. He's a miracle worker. He's a famous rabbi at this point. And so as soon as he arrives, he has someone named Jairus come to him. And he's a well-known person in the community, in the city. And he comes before Jesus and asks for him to come to his house because his daughter is very ill. And so this passage that we read here is set in the context where Jesus is walking through the city, and he's drawing a crowd, right? He's been asked to go to somebody's home, another famous person's home, to bring a healing. And lots of people are around. And so if you can imagine, right? Have you ever been in Old Town in Prague when it's tourist time? And you're going through maybe Charles Bridge, maybe Old Town. And it's not uncommon, is it, to kind of hit somebody's shoulder as you walk by, as you're making your way through the crowd, or have someone kind of touch your heel by accident because there's just so many people, right? Have you experienced that? Maybe you've been to a music concert where people can come up front, you know, it's a rock concert, wah! And there's all these people up front, and right, it's a crowd, and you end up kind of being in a crowd, and it's not uncommon to feel, not touch like, hey, let me give you a hug, but touch like you're in the crowd. Or if you've never experienced that, how about on the bus or the subway during rush hour, right? Where you're all like sardines packed in there, right? You're just going to touch somebody even if you don't want to at that point. So this is the kind of context where we start up this passage. Jesus is walking through the city, and there's a crowd of people around him, probably many people clamoring for Jesus' attention. He is famous, right? He's got this rock star status at this point. Then enters the scene this woman. Now, there's a lot we don't know about the woman. We don't even know her name. But what we are told is that this woman has been very sick for years. It says that she's been bleeding for 12 years. Now, we don't know if that has to do with a hemorrhage or with a menstruation problem, but we know that she has had this state of constant bleeding. The scripture goes on to say that she has spent all of her money on physicians trying to get well, and nobody could heal her. So I want us just to kind of grasp the severity of this woman's situation. It means that she probably has become poor. If she's a woman who's been bleeding for years, she is not married. She's either been divorced or never married. Because by the Levitical law in the Old Testament, a woman in her state is considered unclean. Unclean. And so that would mean a man would not want to touch her. In fact, nobody would want to touch her. This is a woman who has not been touched and is not supposed to touch anyone for years because of her state. You can go to Leviticus 15 if you want to read all about the Levitical purity laws around a woman with a flow of blood. And so I want us just to grasp that this woman has been lonely, that this woman has been an untouchable. Remember how last week we talked about someone who had leprosy. It was not only a disease, it was an illness that kept that person isolated. Here is another picture of someone who has been very isolated, from community, from touch, from the safety of other people because of her illness. She would be like a leper. She would be treated in the society as an untouchable. And so I want us to just picture kind of this situation. Can you imagine being sick for 12 years with such a debilitating illness, and that it had such a social stigma that nobody wanted to touch you? Nobody wanted to be around you. This is her situation. And yet, the scripture says that this woman came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his garment. So rabbis in antiquity would wear robes, gowns, right? Not trousers like I'm wearing now, but a type of gown. And they would have fringes hanging down, tassels, right? Check me, you know, those of you who are good Levitical scholars. And so it shows this picture of this woman somehow being so persistent, so determined, that she somehow pushes her way through the crowd. I wonder if she almost falls and reaches towards his feet and is able to touch the fringe of his garment. Now, this was a big risk for this woman, because, like I said, the woman was unclean, and if anyone in the crowd recognized her and knew her state, they could treat her roughly. They could treat her very poorly. She could get in big trouble, right? So she was risking her safety, her well-being in some ways, to push and go through the crowd to touch Jesus. What's more is she would, in effect, by trying to touch Jesus, make Jesus the rabbi unclean. If she succeeded to touch Jesus, she would make Jesus unclean by Levitical law. And yet she risks, right? And she's successful. It says she was able to touch the hem or the fringe of his garment, and the scripture says immediately her blood flow ceases. She's healed. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Then Jesus says, so he's in a crowd. You see the scene, right? People all around him. Lots of people probably touching him. And Jesus says, "Who was it that touched me?" Isn't that curious? A curious question that Jesus asks in the midst of a crowd. Who was it that touched me? And then it says, all denies it. Everyone denies it. And Peter, don't you love Peter? He tries to help. He tries to help clarify things to Jesus and tries to explain the obvious. Well, Jesus, you're in a crowd. There's lots of people touching you. Let's just keep on going and get to the house to do the healing. Do you ever do that in prayer time? You know, try to help clarify things to Jesus. Jesus, here's my situation, and I'm not sure if you're quite understanding my life right now, so let me try to help clarify to you. This is what Peter's doing, right? Well, let me help you out, Jesus. You're in a crowd. And Jesus, kindly, I'm sure, but somehow kind of clarifies for Peter and explains to the disciples, no, you don't understand. Someone has touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out of me. So, in other words, Jesus was saying, this wasn't just somebody knocked me in the crowd, touched me. No, this was someone drew near to me and touched me in a way that there was a healing. I felt power go out of me. Who touched me? And then it says, when the woman saw that she was not hidden. Ooh. Now there's a word for you. When she saw she was not hidden. Think about those words. Have you ever felt hidden? Sometimes being hidden can be negative and positive. Sometimes both at the same time, right? In this case, maybe the woman was wanting to do this touching in secret and receive a secret healing because she was unclean and she didn't want to get in trouble from what others would think. What would the crowd think if they knew she was in the crowd? What would Jesus think of her if she had been too needy? Maybe she wanted to be secret, hidden. We don't know her faith. Maybe she was also seeing that this was some form of magic, this idea that if I do this, then that equals this, right? And so we don't know what all she's thinking about wanting to be hidden here. We do have a sense that she's seeing it in a negative sense, though, at the moment. Because it says she falls down trembling before him. So there seems to denote she's afraid, she's fearful, of the consequences of what's going to happen to her. But I also want to suggest to you those three little words, or four little words, she was not hidden, are also tremendously positive through the rest of this story. Because I want to suggest to you that Jesus at this point was not done healing that woman. Jesus wanted to bring to this woman a more holistic healing still to come. Because as the woman comes with fear and trembling, realizing she's not hidden, falling down before him, and it says she declares in the presence of all the people why she had touched him. So she gets honest. She is authentically real in front of Jesus. She confesses what she had done and why she had done it and what her desperate situation was, why she needed Jesus. And how she was healed. And I want us to look real closely at how Jesus responds to this woman. This woman who had, quote, broken some rules. This woman who broke through the crowd to get to Jesus. This woman who confesses what she had done. How does Jesus respond to her? I love this. Jesus turns and says to her, "Daughter." Daughter. Think about that one word and how that rocked her world. She was expecting to get in trouble. She was expecting to be scolded. She was not. She was accepted. She was seen. She was loved. And she was treated in that moment with great dignity. Daughter, my child, my son, my daughter. And then Jesus goes on and says, kind of moving the attention away from himself, right? Away from the healing, the miracle, the power that's gone out from him. He switches the attention to the woman and says, "Your faith has made you well." So I just want us to catch the gravity of this one sentence that Jesus says to this unnamed woman. She calls her daughter, which is a word of belonging, right? A word of community, a family word, a loving word, an accepting word. And then Jesus goes on to lift up, to honor this woman who had been dishonored, this woman who had felt shame and disgrace for years. She, in this moment, was brought back into the society, brought back into community, and her faith was lifted up as if Jesus was saying, "Look at this woman and be like her. Her faith has done a tremendous work today." That one sentence must have just changed her life and brought not only that physical healing, but that emotional, psychological, social healing as well. Go in peace, says Jesus. Go into peace. Be at peace. I'm not mad at you. I bless you. These are Jesus' words to this woman. And so I want us to ponder today, to turn now and after we marvel at this wonderful scripture and Jesus' amazing compassion, I want to simply ask us the question, have you ever reached out to touch Jesus? Have you ever reached out to touch Jesus? Now, Jesus lived on earth with skin on at a particular time and place in history. So chances are we won't walk into the city of Prague today to meet Jesus in the same way that this woman did, right? We're told that Jesus Christ now is risen, right, at the right hand of the Father in heaven and will come again. But we're also told in the scriptures that right now, today, we live in the day of the Holy Spirit. And so how are we touched? How are we touched today by God? Well, probably lots of different ways. The scripture talks about the still small voice of God. You can read about that when you read about Elijah. You can sense the touch of God in the scripture as we read. You can sense the touch of God in community when brothers and sisters with skin on, with love, with skin on, reach out with mutual acceptance and dignity. We can experience God as we go out to serve and help someone else, and we sense great joy. There are all sorts of ways we might experience God and His touch. And so back to my question, have you ever asked God to touch you, to touch your life? Maybe it will feel like a tactile, tangible touch. And maybe it will look a little different today. But here's my question. Are you asking? Are you seeking to experience God? You see, I believe God is not a distant God today. Not a, I'm up here in heaven and I don't care about you. No, I believe God is living and active. God's love is big enough for the world and personal enough for you and for me. And so just like in the scripture, this woman who's been sick is lifted up with great faith. Because she insisted on reaching out to Jesus. So I want to exhort each of us, me and you, here, 2023. Are you seeking more of God? Or is your relationship with God stagnant, stale? Or is there something dynamic about it where you sense God moving in your life? And I also want to suggest that just like Jesus took time to ask the woman to make her faith public, she was not hidden from him. So that the person might experience the more full embrace. So I think there's something powerful about when we make our faith public. When we stand up and give a testimony and say, this is something God's been doing in my life. When we say, I want to be baptized, or I want to be a part of the Christian church, right? Those are ways where we can make it public. Also, sometimes just saying to the pastor or saying to a brother or sister in Christ, hey, I have a need. Would you pray for me? Jesus didn't see this woman as too needy. Jesus Jesus didn't see this woman as too needy. Jesus held up this woman for recognizing her need and knowing to go to Jesus. And so it is with us. I need Jesus. I want in this year to experience more of the love of God in my life. How about you? I hope that you'll hunger and thirst for the touch of Jesus in your life. And so as we go to prayer, I want to start right there. Would you take some moment right there in your seat, in your own silent way, just to ask. Jesus, if you're real, I want to encounter you. I want to experience you. Jesus, I know I love you, but I confess I've been going through the motions. I want a new awakening. Whatever it is for you, go ahead and spend some time in prayer talking about the touch of Jesus.